Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Abe Stevens. Abe has a new business in town that's completely intriguing. It's Humboldt Distillery, and Abe is making vodka here in Fortuna. Abe graduated from Fortuna High School. So you got to tell me, what sort of a background leads a person to open a distillery?
Well, I guess an interest in science was my original push in that direction. You know, I went to college, you know, I studied chemistry and worked in the pharmaceutical industry for a number of years doing research and development, and, you know, got sidetracked for a few years doing a little real estate and wanted to get back into something a little more technical and something that kind of put my original interest in science and technology back to use. And I saw a potential business opportunity and doing a little science-related type work as well as, you know, creating a job for myself.
And now, how did you learn how to make vodka?
Little trial and error, you know, a little research, you know, visiting other distilleries. Distillation is a little separate from brewing and winemaking in that you're not allowed to legally do it at home. You know, you can do, you know, home brewing and home winemaking, but, you know, you can't really do home distilling to kind of hone your skills, you know, so you kind of have to actually go through the process of getting all the equipment and getting, you know, licensed from the state and federal governments before you can at least legally go ahead and start doing some, you know, experimentation and try and work out all the bugs in the process.
Where do you even go to buy a still?
Oh, there are a number of still manufacturers. You know, there is one in the Midwest that supplies a lot of, you know, Kentucky distilleries, you know, and a lot of, you know, some of these new micro distilleries that are popping up. There are quite a few still manufacturers in Europe. In Germany, they have a long tradition of micro distilling. You know, a lot of people with small fruit orchards, they like to make schnapps, and they have really small, you know, almost hobby-sized stills that they are able to do legally there. So the still manufacturers are out there. And actually, with so many micro-distilleries popping up, you know, across the country, there's actually been a lot of demand from the still manufacturers to actually keep up.
Okay. And you have a micro-distillery. How much vodka do you distill?
Well, we're still figuring that part out, you know. Still trying to figure out how much people want to buy and how much we should be making. But so far, we've been making about 60 cases a week. And, you know, there's 12 bottles in a case. I think we probably have the capacity to maybe double that if we start, you know, really pushing all our equipment. But I am foreseeing a time where we may actually need to start, you know, investing into, you know, larger equipment, you know, a bigger still and, you know, larger tanks. And
now, it's interesting to me because I always associate vodka with potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do I always think that? And your vodka isn't actually made with potatoes, is it?
Nope. Ours is sourced originally from sugarcane. Potato vodka, which is, you know, traditional in Russia and Poland, which is where vodka originated from, is, I believe, just kind of their, you know, their staple starch out there. And here domestically, you know, most vodkas are actually made from corn. Although there are a number of some of the kind of the finer vodkas are made from wheat, you know, and a lot of wheat vodkas are pretty popular. But since vodka is by legal definition supposed to be a neutral spirit, you know, it's not supposed to have any character to it, it doesn't make a big difference what you start with, because you distill it to such a high level of purity, or at least you should be distilling it to such a high level of purity that in the end, all you should have left would be water and alcohol. So the actual distillation is almost more important than the ingredient that goes into it. Ours is, you know, we're sticking with, you know, the true definition of, you know, just a really clean, neutral vodka.
And it's organic sugarcane that you're using.
Yeah, we decided to go with an organic spirit, you know, mostly because we like the fact that, you know, at least on an agricultural level, you know, when crops are grown organically, in our opinion, a lot better for the environment. Some people question, well, why do you need an organic spirit if you're going to distill it and you're going to strip out any pesticides that, you know, out of it anyway through the distillation process? And there probably is a lot of truth to that. Yeah, I don't think that a conventionally grown, you know, sugarcane or grain or fruit, for that matter, when it's distilled, shouldn't probably have much contamination in the finished spirit. But where it's grown, you know, whether it's grown organically or not, you know, makes a big difference on the larger environment that.
Right, and what the workers have to work in.
Sure.
Yeah.
As far as the actual sugarcane itself, there's some convenience involved with that and just the actual production process. You know, with the grain, you know, if we did a corn-based vodka like everyone else, you know, we would have to deal with a lot of corn. But we are working on, and we plan to release a rum soon that's also sugarcane based, so that there we found a little convenience of, you know, using the same source for both.
Now you're starting to work on some flavorings too, and one of them is orange blossom. How do you get that essence into your product?
Well, there are a number of ways, and we are still fine-tuning our process. We can do them separately, you know, distill the orange blossom essence, you know, in a small scale still, and then combine that, essentially what people might consider like an essential oil or just kind of a concentrated orange blossom distillate back into the vodka. Or we could add our orange blossoms to the original distillation process, and we add it into the distillation column, and then when all the vapors pass up through the blossoms, it would pick up the orange blossom character with the vapor.
So I'm imagining this big truck of orange blossoms pulling up to your distillery. Do I have this correct, or is that crazy?
That remains to be seen. We're still trying to find a source of certified organic orange blossoms. But more than likely, it would actually probably come in, you know, in small sacks.
Okay.
Because they're really fragrant, and it's actually not going to take very many to impart some of that character into the vodka.
And one of the other essences that you're combining with your vodka is raspberries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you source that?
With raspberries, that's going to be a lot easier to find a source of organic raspberries. And that will probably come down to when it's time for us to actually go ahead and order them. Well, probably we have kind of a list of criteria, you know, who's got a good price, who is more local than others. You know, whenever we can, we prefer to go with someone that's local. Although sometimes that's a bit of a challenge when we're going certified organic. That's sometimes a trade-off between going with someone that is organic versus someone that's local.
Uh-huh.
Especially with the orange blossoms, I've found that, you know, you would think that with, you know, all the orange producers in California that, you know, you would be able to find someone that would make a certified organic. I guess you wouldn't expect it, but, you know, I was hoping that I would find someone that would have certified organic orange blossoms. But so far I haven't, you know, and haven't found any in Florida either. So far the only place I've found that has organic orange blossoms is Egypt.
Unusual.
Yeah, so it may end up coming down to a decision, you know, well, do I want to go with someone local or do I want to go with organic? And uh-huh. I know that's a bit of a, you know, a dilemma we have to kind of wrestle with ourselves.
Sure. So, Abe, where can people find your vodka up here on the North Coast?
Well, so far we've been pretty fortunate that, you know, a lot of retailers have been happy to stock it on their shelves. We've got it at a lot of the independent retailers, you know, Beverage Plus Foods and Fortuna, Myrtlewood Liquors and John's Fine Cigars up in Eureka, Wild Berries, you know, as well as some of the larger retailers, Costco and Ray's Food Place, you know, have both been stocking it for us. As well as quite a few of the local bars and restaurants.
Great.
And so I would suggest, you know, someone, if they don't see it on the shelf at their local establishment, just go ahead and ask for it and see if they can get it.
That's great. Now, your distillery itself, is it open to the public?
Currently, it's open by appointment. You know, people are welcome to call us or email us and schedule a time. We are working on putting together a little gift shop and a tasting counter. And hopefully here in the near future, we'll have, you know, just established days and hours where we'll be open to the public, where people can come in and have a look around and sample our products and, you know, check out our little, you know, gift shop.
That sounds great.
Yeah, probably the best way to find out when we're going to be open is to check our website, which is humboldtdistillery.com. And once we have our posted hours and days available, we'll put them up there. Our contact information is there as well for people that are interested in making an appointment.
Great. Well, it's interesting to hear about things that are going on in Fortuna down at the Humboldt Distillery. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been speaking with Abe Stevens, Humboldt Distillery. Thank you, Abe.
No problem.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.